Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, and happy President's Day to those of you out there in the United States who might be celebrating with us. Today, before we get started with our show, I'd like to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search. Markham Search makes today's show possible and provides premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including different verticals in sales recruitment, legal recruitment, technological recruitment, as well as legal and human resources recruitment. So a special thank you to our sponsors and to our guests today. So today we have with us on the show, Peng Jun. Peng is recognized as the authority on how to make big money through the internet. He made his first million online selling products in the gaming space while he was living with his parents. Over the past 10 years, he has built a following of over a million entrepreneurs, sold over eight figures worth of products and services, and has enabled tens of thousands of people to build, grow, and scale their online business. As one of the most requested speakers in the world, Peng Jun has spoken in over 20 countries and has shared the stage with Richard Branson, Tony Robbins, and Robert Kiyosaki, as well as many other thought leaders of this era. Thank you so much for joining us today, Peng.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell our listeners a little bit about your story. How was it that you began a business working basically from your parents' house? And how did you grow to be a multimillionaire and a global thought leader?
It all began with the word desperation. I was in Malaysia back then, and 12 years ago, I was earning paycheck to paycheck. I was earning $400 a month, which in Malaysia is a very tough life. And one of the things that I did back then is I saw this ad, and there was this report on this guy who apparently did over $1 million selling this digital product, which is an ebook in World of Warcraft. And back then, I spent my college life pretty much playing World of Warcraft. And I thought to myself, if this guy did $1 million selling an ebook in World of Warcraft, I spent over 1,000 hours playing this game. Maybe I can do 10% of what he did. And if I did that, I would be set for life. And it was because somebody else did it. It gave me that hope, that belief that maybe I could be able to do it as well. And it was because of that that prompted me to create my very first digital product ever in the gaming space, which was what my passion was back then. And I turned that into a product, which eventually became a business.
That's amazing. It's so funny you say that, because just today I shared a post on Facebook of a quote that said, "Tell the story of the mountain you climbed. Your words could become a page in someone else's survival guide," by Morgan Harper Nichols, which I thought was pretty neat.
Wow.
So it's very apropos that we're talking today, Peng. So let's talk about this. I mean, it's not, it's one thing to have an idea and to say, wow, here's somebody else who has done this and who has been successful. But then how do you take the necessary steps to begin to replicate that and to generate success on your own?
Yeah. So let's begin with this. Right now, in the day and age that we are living in, if we take any market, any niche, any industry, whether it is computer games, whether it's makeup, whether it's dating, whether it's gardening, or serious markets like real estate, investing, forex, we got to understand that that's right now, there are people that's absolutely crushing it, making millions of dollars in that market. No matter how crazy you think that market might be, there is somebody crushing it. And if there is somebody crushing it, then the next question would be, why can't I be that next person? And what are they doing in that market that I am not doing? And it all begins by just modeling the people that's already successful doing it. Because what they have figured out is the angle and the product that converts. They've figured out Facebook ads, which you could easily take a look at, reverse engineer, not copy, which will be unethical, but to look at the different things, because success leaves clues. So the first step would be to look at to opt in, enter your name and email to how to read the emails they send out, to look at their price points, buy their products, look at how they deliver their upsells, and really understand the business model. That would be the starting step, not to try to reinvent the wheel, but model what's already working.
I love that, Peng. You know, it's wonderful getting to be able to host this show and the entrepreneurs and the executives I get to talk to around the world. That's an idea I have not thought of before, but I love it because you can actually apply the same thing in job hunting. It's in today's day and age, you can look at your competition on LinkedIn and see somebody who has your dream job and say, okay, the vice president of marketing over at Mattel, where did he or she go to school? Where did he or she work before that? And the same is true of entrepreneurship, is to emulate and look at people and figure out, huh, what can I learn from this person? And then to apply those same principles rather than trying to start from scratch.
100%. And that goes for everything. That goes for writing email. That goes for writing Facebook ads. That goes for the copywriting that goes on a sales page. That goes for marketing. All these different moving pieces, you don't have to do it from scratch. Look at somebody that's already doing it in terms of all these moving pieces, and model what works.
So tell me about your book, The Content Multiplier Formula. How did you come to write that book, and what are some of the principles in it?
So one of the things that I've had issues with a couple of years ago is, how do I automate social media? How do I have content out there on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and all these different platforms, and still have a life? Because I'm looking at all these different marketers. They seem to be posting content every day on all these different channels, on their blogs, putting articles. They're like a content machine. And I thought to myself, like, if I did what they did, I would have no life. So I asked myself, like, how can I put it into a system so that all I need to do is create one video? And with this one video, how can I multiply it across all these other platforms so that my content fits the context of all these different platforms? So I'm not taking the same exact piece of content, but rather I am repurposing it so that it matches the mindset and the intention and the way these platforms are designed.
I love that. It's so funny we're talking about this, Peng, because it's an inquiry I was just exploring with our company recently, because you look at the people out there on social media, the influencers who are doing these things, and you think to yourself, who has enough time to be on Facebook, then go to Insta, then go Snapchat something, then create blog or YouTube channels, etc. And I was just talking to our executive team about this last week, about how important it is to leverage all of these networks. And so if you create a video in one place, you then leverage that on YouTube, then you embed it into your blog, and then you use that content in different ways. So that makes a lot of sense.
Oh yeah. And the key here is to understand that people go to different platforms for different reasons. So we want to be able to take that video, and even though it's the same video, we want to be able to match the intention of why that person is on that platform to begin with. So to give you an idea, Facebook and YouTube, we could create the same video, but we need to optimize it differently to really maximize the content on these platforms. When somebody goes on Facebook and they're scrolling through their Facebook newsfeed, our content will get a person's attention when it stands out, when it acts as a pattern interrupt, because they're scrolling the feed. And a person will only stop scrolling when the thumbnail stands out, when there is a hook, when there's something that captures their attention. So when it comes to Facebook, we want to have some sort of hook, some sort of polarity, some sort of thing that makes it controversial, that stops people in their track so that they give you that initial 5 seconds of attention. Now, however, if we took the same exact video and we posted it on YouTube with the same exact title, the same exact hook, that may not necessarily work. And the reason for that is because when people go on YouTube, it is intent-based. And what that means is, when a person goes on YouTube, the only way your video gets discovered is if they find it through, for example, Google, through a search engine. When people make a search and Google ranks that YouTube video. Or the second method would be when they're watching a YouTube video and on the right-hand side, there are related videos. Now, what this means is, if you post a video on Facebook, if it doesn't take off organically in the first 24, 48 hours, chances are it will never take off. However, with YouTube, it grows over time. And what that means is for your video to grow over time on YouTube, it is about optimizing it using keyword-rich titles so that it gets discovered through the keywords that you actually use on the video. So in other words, the same video can go on two different platforms, but Facebook has got to be about the hook. So it needs to be something that may not necessarily be keyword rich. However, for YouTube, it has got to be optimized so that it's actually keywords that's that people are searching for on Google.
I love that. You are a wealth of information because you look at people who are influencers and you ask yourself, how do these people become influential? Whether it's somebody who's influential providing a service or a product or selling something, there's something that people are doing that a lot of us are missing. So I love that you've actually quantified it and found out quantifiable ways, which I'm sure you elaborate more in the book about, to go out and apply these techniques to create greater revenue streams.
That's right. And that's really because the thing that's in our pocket right now, the mobile phone, that is the new TV. And the way to think about it is that Facebook is the new place where people go to the news feed for the news. So Facebook is the new channel for news. Like personally, I have not went home, turned on the TV just to watch the news. I don't think I've done that in the last 15 years. Maybe. Agreed. When was the last time you went back home to turn on your TV to watch the news?
I know. I was debating whether or not to even get a TV, quite frankly, because you can do right. Just about anything on your iPhone, laptop, you know, smartphone or tablet.
Exactly. And Instagram, that is like the new reality TV, right? That is where people want to see behind the scenes to what's happening in your life. Podcasting is the new radio. And there are all these different channels. You know, YouTube, it's the new sitcom. And there are all these different platforms that's constantly coming out, and eventually there will come a time where the attention on TV is so low that it may eventually be just irrelevant.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just at a conference a few weeks ago, and Kevin Harrington, a very prominent billionaire who is the man responsible for As Seen on TV, mm-hmm. was talking to people about what to do when the market shifts. And he said, you know, it's just basically everything I had ever done As Seen on TV doesn't have the same value that it used to have because people aren't watching TV. It used to be like he gave a great example of one night he was up late at night watching, I think it was Discovery Channel, and he noticed all there were color bars back in the day in like the 1980s because Discover, whatever the channel was, played nothing. And so he just had an idea. Oh, I'll call Discover and figure out why don't we start putting something during those 3 hours of dead time. And that's how he built his business. But nowadays, because television is falling by the wayside and people aren't using it, you have to reinvent yourself and innovate yourself for the new mediums that people are responding to.
Yeah. And regardless of what platform or medium is 5-10 years from now, understand that the key here is to have and develop that message. 10 years ago, the king may not have been Facebook. I didn't rely on Facebook ads back then. Back then it was Google AdWords. 10 years from now, we don't know if the main player is still going to be Facebook. But what I do know is that as long as you figure out your messaging, you'll be able to take that into any platform that it evolves to 10, 15 years from now.
So let's talk about monetizing it. So there's a lot of people probably tuning in right now thinking, gosh, I'm an expert at this, or I would love to be able to sell that. But at what point can you begin to monetize something like YouTube or utilize Facebook ads? At what point would you suggest that people start exploring that?
Right at the start. So begin with the end in mind. So do not create content for the sake of creating content to become an influencer, because there's a lot of influencers out there that's broke, where they have hundreds, if not millions of followers on Facebook, but what they really do is they are pimping out their brand and doing product placement for posts. And to me, that's not a business. A business is when you have an offer, you have a product, you have a sales process in place. So right at the start, creating content is great, but begin with end in mind. So know what is your offer so that you can structure your content around it. You want to be purposeful about your content so that your content eventually leads people to a sale. Why do people buy? People buy when they know, like, and trust you. So you build that relationship through your content, through videos, through all these different platforms. And ultimately, these platforms lead back to your sales process. And in your sales process, that is when modeling comes in. Take a look at what other people in the market that's crushing it, what are they doing so that you can model the price points, model the upsells. Not copy, but rather use it as a benchmark, as your starting point so that you can do even better.
So this idea of content, I get that content is king, but one would argue that you can have good content and bad content. What's the difference between somebody who might be out there right now, diligently every single day, posting content, and for some reason or another, that content is just not taking off, it's not leading to sales, it's not generating them any revenue? At what point do you throw in the towel or do you reinvent yourself?
Put it this way, right at the start, I do not know anyone really that's crushing it today where right at the start, they crushed it with videos. I would say that every marketer friend that I know that's making at least $1 million a year, when they started off on video, including myself, every master was once a disaster. They embrace the suck. If you have never done video marketing before and you're doing your first video, know that you will suck. But when you do more and more videos, you will suck less and less and less. And you'll reach a point when you sucked so little that you realize, hey, I'm pretty good at this. So the whole purpose of doing videos right at start is really to find your voice, to find what hooks, what angles works for you, to find and get practice. Use that as a way to get practice and to be willing to be good at something, to be bad at something, so that eventually you'll be good at it.
I think that's great advice, Peng. And I'm, you know, personally going through that myself right now. As I was working with one of my coaches, and she said, you know, you're supposed to be doing more stuff with YouTube and TV and so forth, and you just beat yourself up. I will tell anybody out there who's tuning in right now, we all look at ourselves in the mirror or in our videos and we go, oh my God, my nose looks huge. My hair is awful. This turned out horrible. I stuttered here. And yet you still have to post it and you just have to keep putting it out there. And then it catches on with one person or another. And it's about just surrendering and letting go of the fear of looking bad. I think some of the people who are really great influencers that I've seen have eventually, like you said, evolved and just let go of that fear of how they're looked or how people perceive them. And they are authentic. And I think authenticity is what really sells right now with the generations that are coming up and the people who are consuming out there.
It's called me-a-titis. Nobody likes how they sound. Nobody really likes, everybody has a reason to why they can't. It's that internal dialogue that we have with ourselves that we just need to get over. And I know, like personally, if someone is willing to create content and document and just put content out there every single day, consistently every day for a year, I'm very confident that you will double your income in a year if you put content out in one way or another. Either the opportunities that come in, either one video takes off, something will happen and you will at least double your income if you created content consistently every day for a year.
Well, you've thrown down the gauntlet, Peng. That is a good challenge, I think, to anybody out there, because it does seem daunting. It's like anything. There are many great exercises out there that tell you to write for 30 minutes a day or meditate for 10 minutes a day. But this is something for anybody out there who's thinking, gosh, I want to have other revenue streams. I don't want to be doing other gig economy sort of things. I want to develop myself as a brand. You really have an opportunity to do it, and trial and error, just put yourself out there and you might fail and find out the things you're passionate about. I don't know if you've noticed this, Peng, but what I've seen in the marketplace is when somebody has a passion, like if I notice a job seeker is really nervous in an interview, I'll start to ask them about what their favorite aspects of whatever their hobbies are. And when people start to talk about the things that bring them joy, that they're passionate about, it begins to shift, and then they shift who they're being, and they show up differently in front of you.
One of the most common things I get when I'm training people to share their voice and their message is when somebody says, I'm not a speaker. And one of the things I will always do is in front of everybody, I'll take the mic, I'll go up to somebody who really has a fear of speaking. I'll ask this person, close their eyes, and I would say, tell me about your mother. And you will see that this person will 100% tell an amazing story, be really engaging. And the reason for that is because that person is just telling her truth. The reason why speaking and sharing a message might be scary is when we are unfamiliar with it. But when we are coming from truth and authenticity, that is when it becomes easy.
Did you ever have any fears, Ping? Because I can imagine coming from Malaysia, is English your first language, or did you have another first language?
It's not. So Cantonese is my first language, but in high school, I was eating disorder. So I weighed about 105 pounds. So just skin and bones, lacked confidence. And I was just this kid who, when I was playing World of Warcraft during my college days, let me tell you how bad it is. Back then, we had to use this voice app to communicate with each other. Okay, so I played this game a lot, and one of the things we had to do is to use this voice app to communicate with each other. And during the 3 years that I played this game, I never once dared to press the push to talk button because I had the fear of being judged. My accent, my voice, all these different considerations came in, and it was just, like most people, I thought I was not good enough. Same thing with my name. I thought to myself, wow, if I came to the US, people can't even pronounce Ping Jun, you know? And I don't, also all these different things, like what if I'm too young to do this? Now that I've done all this, now that I have spoken more in 20 countries all over the world, now that I have built my business, I realize that all these considerations that I once had, they were all just beliefs, self-limiting beliefs.
It's so true. Are you a fan at all of tapping or EFT? Did you use that at all to help counter yourself, your limiting beliefs?
No, I've not.
For anybody out there, it was something that was introduced to me by my business coach many years ago, because we all have those thoughts. We have the thought of, I'm not good enough. Nobody's going to like me. I sound stupid. I don't know what to say. These are all potential things we could tell ourselves. And something really powerful that I was taught a few years ago is that when you have those thoughts and they kind of overwhelm your brain, it's like a virus and then you can't stop thinking about it. What you can do, one thing you could do, is to write those down and to write down the 30 or so things that you're telling yourself over and over that disempower yourself. And then science has actually taught us that by tapping on different acupuncture meridian points, so it's E as in Edward, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, EFT, you can find videos, speaking of which, on YouTube about this, and you tap on those meridians. So say, for example, if you were feeling like, I'm a failure, you would actually tap on these, I think it's 7 or 8 different meridians, and you would tap while saying, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. And then once you get through the 30 things that are disempowering you, you can reprogram yourself by saying, I'm a success, I'm extraordinary, my money channel is open, money flows to me with ease, or whatever inspires you. And it's really a remarkable thing that can help you to eliminate those negative thoughts when you don't have a mentor or coach to guide you and assist you with it.
Yeah. Change your beliefs and you'll change your life.
Great quote. Very, very true. So tell me, I know you wrote this book. Where can people find the book? And what if people want to work with you? Do you offer workshops? Tell me a little bit about that.
They can get a copy of the book. It's over at contentmultiplierformula.com. I talk about 9-step process, where step number 1 is shooting the video, and step number 2 to 9 is when you can hand it off to somebody else, your team, a VA, or if you're, you know, bootstrapping, you can do it yourself. But it's a system on how all you need to do is step number 1, shoot the video, and then the process and the system takes over. So contentmultiplierformula.com.
Perfect. So contentmultiplierformula.com. And do you offer workshops or classes, or how would people reach out to you if they wanted to be mentored and work with you on that?
For the full schedule and details, head over to my personal website, pingjoon.com. That's pengjoon.com for details.
Awesome, Ping. Well, tell me, were there any other points or things that you and I didn't get to address today that you would love our listeners to walk away from today's show with?
Yes. I would end with this. I would end that playing this game, which is the content creation game, many times people think that it's for extroverts. It's for people who want to be in the limelight. It's for marketers. And many times people associate the business that they're in and label themselves as that is the role. So people would say things like, oh, I'm in cybersecurity. I am in real estate. And they label themselves and they say, oh, but I'm not a marketer. I'm in real estate. And when people say that, I say that you're not in the business of real estate, but rather you are in the business of marketing real estate. As the leader, as the entrepreneur, your business is in the marketing of that business. So creating content online is marketing. And any business that has no visibility online will lose. So the ship has already sailed. You got to decide if you want to be on board that ship.
I love it. Brilliant advice, Ping. I have learned so much, and I know I'm going to be running out to buy your book as well, The Content Multiplier Formula, which is also a website where you can find more information on Ping's book, as well as, I believe you said, pengjoon.com is your own personal website that people can find you at on there. And if you missed any portion of today's show, do not forget that you can also download the show immediately following the show on the latalkradio.com website on the Get Yourself the Job page. And you can go to the bottom of the page in the archives and find this or any other shows. We also invite you to check iTunes. You can find the show later in the week on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can listen at your leisure, subscribe, leave us any feedback or anything else like that that you think might be valuable for us or for our guests. And a special thank you to everybody who tunes in every week, who makes this show possible. And thank you, Ping, for joining us despite some technological difficulties in the beginning. So we appreciate you taking time out of your busy speaking schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. Wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week. And thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.